May we help to worship God this evening, commencing by singing hymn number 511, hymn 511, to the tune Leicester 171. In all my troubles and distress, the Lord my soul does own. Jehovah does my griefs redress and make his mercy known. He helps me, on him to rely. He is my strength and tower. 'Tis he that hears me when I cry and manifests his power. Hymn 511, tune Leicester 171.
God, we'll read together the Epistle of James, chapter 1. the general epistle of James, chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. May God bless to us that reading from his holy word, and may he teach us each how to pray. Kind and gracious and most merciful Lord God in heaven, we humbly pray thy presence and thy blessing here this evening as we meet again for worship. Lord, we pray that thou send us and grant us that help that we need. Lord, we pray that thy word this night may be made powerful to us as hearers of it, so that we are found as doers of the word as well as hearers. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt supply all of our need. We come as sinners in need this evening. We need thy gracious help. We need thy presence, Lord, here among us. We need, Lord, that the word that is read may be opened up to our understanding. Lord, we need our hearts open to receive it. And Lord, we need thy blessing to rest upon it, that we may have it applied, and that as we go on from this place and continue with this week, Lord, we need that word applied, and we pray, Lord, that thou wilt send us the Holy Spirit to bring that word back to our remembrance and to use it for our instruction and for our encouragement. Lord, at times we are in need of correction, and we pray, Lord, that if we stand in need of thy rebuke or thy correction, we pray, Lord, that thou speak, and that we may hear thy voice, and that we may fall under the word. And pray, Lord, that thou grant to us that spirit of true confession. Lord, we need our sins and our iniquities to be subdued, the power of sin within us. And Lord, we need our sins that we have committed to be washed away and to be remembered no more. And Lord, we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the life of a perfect man. Lord, we are imperfect. We are poor, needy sinners. And Lord, we pray that thou cleanse us and clothe us, that we may stand at the end of our days before thee on that judgment day in the righteousness of Christ, that we may stand holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of Almighty God. And Lord, it is only in Christ Jesus that the sinner can be found acceptable. And we pray that we may find that acceptance here below in our prayers and in our worship. Pray, Lord, that thou would accept our poor attempts of worship and accept our humble petitions, and pray that thou grant us those tokens of that acceptance in granting us answers of peace. And so we thank thee, gracious God, that there is a place by thee where sinners may come and approach, that we may come to a holy, 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 almighty Lord God of heaven and earth, and be found acceptable. We pray, Lord, that thou then grant us that boldness in the knowledge of that acceptance that there is in Jesus Christ. And may we come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We pray, Lord, that thou deliver us in the hour of temptation, that thou make that way of escape for us. Lord, leave us not to be standing in our own strength. Lord, we are a prey to Satan if left to our own devices. We pray that thou put thy gracious hand upon us. Lord, do look upon us in thy compassion, and send us, Lord, that help we need to resist in the hour of temptation. Lord, thou knowest that he knows what our besetting sins are. And so, Lord, we pray for that cleansing, that renewing. We pray for that restoring. We pray that thou create in us a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within us. We pray, Lord, that thou put thy spirit within us. May we know thy divine influence and those promptings from within. Pray, Lord, that thou grant us a tender conscience. And may we have the fear of the Lord in our hearts, which is the beginning of wisdom, that which is an unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. We pray that thou art, Lord, work in us to will and to do of thy good pleasure. We may be found among those that are choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But Lord, we have by nature a taste and an appetite for sin. Those things are exceeding pleasurable to us, but for a season. Oh, we pray that thou change our taste, and grant us, Lord, that we may hunger and thirst after righteousness. Pray, Lord, that thou cast out our sin, and enter in and be born in us this day. So help us, Lord, we pray. Do remember the children and the young people. Grant thy gracious help and direction in their lives. Help them, Lord, in their own personal reading of thy word. Lord, may they not be strangers to thy book, the Bible, but may they be often reading it, and bless them, Lord, with an understanding of it. Do apply thy word with power. And we pray, Lord, that they may prove that thy word is food for them. And we pray, Lord, that they may trace out in their lives as they go forward in the unknown way, thy dealings, that thou art dealing with them as with thy children. We pray, Lord, then, do remember them, do overshadow them. May thy divine influence be within them. And grant them, Lord, that they may, Lord, be found walking in thy ways, desiring to honour thee in all that they do. Lord, we pray, keep them from wandering off into the world. Lord, may their eyes, Lord, not behold vanity and follow after uncleanness, but rather may they seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and they find that all these things shall be added unto them. Do help us, Lord, in each of our pathways, in the choices that we have. Lord, we pray that we may be found with a true understanding of the shortness of our lives. May we see our lives in the light of a never-ending eternity. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant us that desire put within by thee to be found right at last. Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Grant to us, Lord, some God-given faith, that which is placed in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, may none of us come short at that great day. Oh, may we not be found among the almost Christians. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The dying stranger, far off from God. Lord, do then work that mighty work of grace within us. Maintain us unto the end. Keep us in all the untrodden steps of our lives. Keep us from bringing dishonour, on bringing reproach on thy holy name. May we rather witness that good witness. May we be, Lord, as light shining in this dark world. And may all the honour and glory be unto thy holy name. So, Lord, remember us here this evening. Be with those unable to be here. We think of one in hospital. We pray for her. Do grant, Lord, a measure of recovery that she may return home and return here to worship again, if it could please thee. Do make all her bed in her affliction. And be with her in that hospital ward. And grant her thy presence. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon her and shine into her heart, we pray. Remember us each, Lord, those of us that are parents, Lord, who grant us that help, that wisdom, that grace that we need. Lord, may we live our lives rightly before our children. Lord, help us that we may do those things which are right in thy sight. And Lord, we pray that our children may be thy children. Lord, may we each be found in thy family. Oh, we pray that we may know God as our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. So help us, Lord, supply every need, be with any with particular burdens and cares, that those, Lord, who have hard things before them, younger friends with exams, those with choices and decisions to make, Lord, we pray that those choices may be overshadowed by thee. The lot is cast into the lap. The whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Oh, may these things fall out in our lives to the furtherance of the gospel and to thy honour and glory. So help us, Lord. Grant us that our bodily needs might be supplied. Bless each in their daily lives, those in the workplace. Lord, grant them that help they need. Those in school and college, Lord, those times where we must mingle with the world, keep us by thy grace. Help us, Lord, to walk in that right way. And, Lord, grant that we may not be ashamed of thee. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt work in us. Lord, that we may not live a double life. Pray, Lord, that we may not be one thing on the Lord's day and another thing during the week. May we be made consistent. Thy grace in our hearts, the love of Christ shed abroad in our heart, and that we might do all things in love's sake for thy honour and glory. O Lord, may we ever have before us the love of God in Christ Jesus. The greater love hath no man than this, the man should lay down his life for his friends. Oh, may thy cross, dear Lord Jesus, ever be in our view. Oh, may we ever be found with that sacrifice for sinners impressed upon our minds. Oh, may it affect our whole conversation and behaviour. Lord, we ask these things. We seek the forgiveness of every sin and pray that thou grant us thy presence. And may there be those things for us to take home and to pray over in the coming days. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Graham Cottenham is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day afternoon, with the service to commence at 3 p.m. And the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will, God willing, be observed during that afternoon service. As helps, there will be a red address during the prayer meeting and a red sermon during the morning service. On Thursday evening, there will be, God willing, a church prayer meeting to commence at 7:15 p.m. The collection and donations for the month amounted to £493.62 in the general fund and £20 in the benevolent fund. We would desire to thank the friends for their willing giving and look to the Lord to supply all our need. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 706. Hymn 706, June Buckland, 450. Gracious God, thy children keep, Jesus, guide thy silly sheep. Fix, O fix our fickle souls, Lord, direct us we are fools, bid us in thy care confide, keep us near thy wounded side, from thee let us never stir, for thou knowest how soon we err. Hymn 706, June Buckland, 450.
Thank you.
me to the chapter we read, the general epistle of James, chapter 1. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from the 12th verse. James chapter 1 and the 12th verse. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. In preparation in my meditations for the service this evening, a day or two previous, Friday I think it was, my mind seemed to go to this 12th verse. And then in reading the whole chapter, I realised that I had come to Maidstone with this not long ago. And the text that day was verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And it was a bit of a trial to me. I could say I was tempted to give up with the text, thinking that I was maybe coming with an association. What do I mean? A text of association. Associating maybe a place with a passage of scripture in my mind. My old pastor warned me of that when I first went out to preach. He said, be careful, particularly when you go maybe once to a chapel, once every year, that it's not a text of association. But this morning, our last hymn was 307. And above the hymn 307 is this text. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. I said to Ray this afternoon that hymn was on my mind for the prayer meeting this morning. I didn't say to Ray that the text above it was on my mind for this evening. And so, encouraged by the hymn choice this morning, I venture to bring this same passage of scripture, a different text, to you this evening. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You know, there are many beatitudes in the Word of God. Those things whereby the Lord is pleased to confirm one as being blessed when they are maybe passing through something or enduring something or having something. And you can think of those beatitudes in the sermon of our Lord Jesus Christ, as recorded in Matthew chapter 5 and also in Luke. There is those beatitudes. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. And so we continue. But here we have We have a maybe one that is at first seems more unusual. You can maybe understand something of what the Lord Jesus said concerning those. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, and so on and so on. But what about this one? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So how can that be? How can it be good? How can it be a blessing? If you're blessed, the Lord blesses you. Well, it's surely a good thing. Then how can it be a good thing to be in temptation? How can it be good? Well, friends, it's this vital point that James writes of here. The man that endureth temptation. And that is a different thing to the man that gives in to temptation, or the man that succumbs to temptation. This is the enduring. This is then when things come into our lives. Now, yes, it may be, as we might be tempted to do evil or tempted to do wrong. And there is no blessing in giving in. There's no blessing in doing evil. There's no blessing in succumbing to the power of sin and Satan. But this is different. This is enduring it. This is standing fast in the hour of temptation. This is enduring temptation, continuing in temptation, and being brought through and out the other side of that particular temptation. It may be not, as it were, present itself as someone in your life coming or trying to entice you to go somewhere with them or to do something with them that you know is wrong. It may present itself in a different way. This enduring temptation may present itself in an affliction. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You know, you can think of that dear man Job. You think of his life and how that day, it seemed one thing after another seemingly went wrong, didn't it, in his life. Those things that took place, he lost his family, he lost possessions. It seemed like he was having everything stripped from him. And he had much, didn't he? He was a man that was blessed with many possessions, and yet the Lord permitted Satan to touch them. And he did touch them. And we're told there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking in his elder brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were ploughing and the asses feeding beside them, and those fell on them and took them away, and I only escaped to tell. And then while he was speaking, another came, fire of God is fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped. And so it went on, thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their elder's brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell. I told Job, arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. That's remarkable, isn't it? How many of us would respond in that way? Fell down on the ground and worshipped. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we're told at the end of chapter 1, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, what a string of events. Tragedy upon tragedy. And yet, oh, how the Lord kept him. The door of his lips, he didn't speak against his God. No murmuring. No charging God foolishly. And no questioning and no reasoning. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it went on. He was then afflicted bodily. Another affliction. Another time of temptation. Another opportunity. Whereby he might be, as it were, taken in that temptation to curse his Lord. His own wife says to him, when looking on all his affliction, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Oh, what a temptation that was. His own dear wife. Oh, but what does he say? Now speaketh as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Oh, you know, friends, these things. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You know, it will come. There's not a man, woman, boy or girl that's walked the face of this earth that has not endured some temptation. And there won't be a single one that will go through this life and not be tempted. Friends, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the holy, spotless Lamb of God, was tempted of the devil. Now, he had nothing, he found nothing in him. He had nothing to tempt him. But he still came to buffet him. He still came and tempted him. You and I will certainly and most surely be tempted. Oh, but will this be said of us? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Oh, how can a man or woman or boy or girl endure temptation? How can we, when we are so weak, so foolish by nature, how can we? Well, it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, we cannot stand. Without him, we cannot last. Oh, we have no strength. We have no power in and of ourselves. But the Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. And that the Lord does supply. We're told by the Apostle Peter in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. The Lord knoweth how. And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Oh, he's able to make that way of escape, as the Apostle Paul says, in the hour of temptation. But do we want it? Do we desire that way of escape? You know, friends, some of us can look back to times in our life when we didn't desire a way of escape. We wanted to run in the ways of sin. We delighted in those ways of sin. The fact that our ways of sin were being hindered at times was a matter of great frustration to us. Not a delightful rest and respite. It was an inconvenience when our sinful pleasures were interrupted. But the difference that grace makes. When the Lord is pleased to give some conviction of sin in the heart and bring a sinner accountable before God, bring him to consider that he is accountable before a holy God for every sin. Something of the exceeding sinfulness of sin is known. Then a way of escape is sought. But can you find it? Can you find it yourself? Can you muster up the resolve to resist? Have you the strength to stand in the way of temptation and resist? Friends, may you and I be found fleeing rather than seeing how close we might walk and not get burnt. Oh, the Lord would make us to see the danger and flee for refuge to the hope that's set before us in Jesus Christ. Oh, the one who can make that way of escape. The one who can burst through. Maybe there is a particular besetting sin that you have. Friends, take it to the feet of Jesus. Ask him to help you with it. Ask him to take that desire out of your heart. Ask him to subdue that power of sin and Satan within, who would take those besetting sins and try and lead you into them and try and bring you into those ways of sin again. But the Lord is faithful, who has promised, and the Lord is good and gracious to those that call upon him. He said, call upon me in a day of trouble. I wonder if The hour of temptation is a day of trouble for you. But he said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Oh, friends, when you feel those moments coming, when you see the enemy of souls approaching, when you find yourself being led astray, may the Lord reach out his hand. May you seek for his word. Reach out for the word of God. Oh, may there be that taking up of the book in your hands, praying that the Lord will lead you into that word. Oh, may the Lord grant to you that understanding of the way that Satan works, and help you, make you wise, that you might walk circumspectly. You know, what does that mean? It means not walking carelessly, but walking carefully, walking advisedly, cautiously, not carelessly and prayerlessly, but seeking that we might ask the Lord to help us day by day to walk in that right way. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And they will come. I say, how will you respond? How will I respond? Oh, will we curse God? Will we charge him foolishly? Will we murmur? No, when things come in our lives and frustrate our plans and cross our paths, will we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time? Or will we rather raise a fist to heaven and moan our lot? Oh, may the Lord keep us humbled before him. May we fall at his feet. May we be made like a Joseph. You know, you consider the life of that dear man. You trace out in your own time the life of that man. You know, reading Psalm 105, we have various things written there, but we have this. He sent a man before them. This is before the children of Israel, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. And we have this in verse 19, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The word of the Lord tried him. And you know, there are those times when we are tried. And the Lord will try his people. And he does it to prove them. He does it to prove what is in their heart. He does it to make known himself and to prove himself to them. But he tries them. He gives them a word and he tries that word. He gave Joseph a promise and he tried that promise. He gives you a promise, you'll try it. He will try it. How trying it must have been for Joseph when he was there languishing in prison. What was the prospect of release? When the butler and the baker are released, and the dreams that they had were interpreted of Joseph by him, and they were very grateful and thankful, weren't they, for it? And he pleaded with them that they wouldn't forget him. And the butler is restored to his position, and the baker is hanged according to those interpretations of those dreams. But then the butler forgets him. Well, we have the word of God, and it declares, but the Lord was with Joseph. But how trying. There he is in prison. And he's forgotten. And he's there, falsely accused. He's done nothing wrong. And there he is in prison, no prospect of release. Until that word came. Until Pharaoh had that dream. And he can't interpret it, doesn't understand it. And then the butler remembers Joseph and the one who interpreted his dream. And then there's that calling forth. And Joseph, in 24 hours, in one day, He's gone from the prison to second in command in the land of Egypt. You know, friends, the Lord, He trieth the righteous. The Lord trieth the righteous. Why does He try your faith? Why does He give you a promise and then seem to make it impossible for that promise to be fulfilled? Why is it he will raise you up to a hope and then seem to take any hope or that hope being realised out of sight? Why? Oh, that you might praise Him more, that you might love Him more, that you might trust Him more. He tries faith that it might increase, not be removed. He tries a promise not to take it back, but to confirm it. And these hours of temptation that you must endure, that you must be brought into, you will be brought into them. Friends, they're big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Isn't it the darkest hour that precedes the morning light? And so it is, isn't it? Before honour is humility. That time maybe that you shrink from, all those times, maybe you can look back to them, and the darkness and the temptation, but there's been a nevertheless afterward. And it's yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness, because you've been exercised in it thereby. What is this designed to do? What does the Lord intend to do? Why does He permit it? Why is it allowed? If He's that Heavenly Father that cares much for His dear children, why would He allow it? Why would there be that permissive will of God? Why was Job, those things permitted to come into the life of Job? Why was it permitted the path of Joseph? And so you might go on. Why? Well, the Lord will have it so. That we are led and taught by Him. And ultimately, it is for you and I in a gospel day to be brought to look to Christ, to look to the Lord Jesus. Oh, the hymn writer says, doesn't he? Few, if any, come. There are few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. And so it is. There is that purpose. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Oh, it isn't so that he might be banished to everlasting punishment, so he might be his name blotted out of the book of life. He might be taken out of the covenant of grace as a beneficiary of it, but that he might be a possessor of the crown of life. He might receive it. He endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive. He shall receive the crown of life. Apostle Peter again, First Epistle of Peter, chapter 1. And in that he speaks of the Lord keeping His people by the power of God through faith. And then he says, in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold, a multiple amount of what? Blessings? Joy? Temptation. Manifold temptations. Numerous, various temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. That's the value of it. In the sight of God and in your estimation it must be. Much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found. Not burnt away and removed, but found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Christ might appear, arising for your help, making that way of escape in the hour of temptation, that your eyes might be turned to Him. You might look upon Him, or you might seek for Him in that temptation. Oh, His way was much rougher and darker than mine, said the hymn writer. Did Christ my Lord suffer? Yes, He did. Shall I repine? No, you mustn't. Oh, let me not murmur, nor repine, under these trying strokes of thine, while I feel affliction's rod, be still, and know that I am God. These things are appointed. Oh, and will you be one of those that flees to the rock that is higher than you? Lead me to the rock when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, is that your desire? When these things is wave upon wave of temptation and trouble and sorrow and disappointment. You can name it. You've got your own, haven't you? But it's wave upon wave, isn't it? Oh, but what does it mean? What does it make you feel? How is it that, what is it that you need? It's that rock, isn't it? The shadow of a great rock in a weary land, that's what you need. You're in great temptation. You need a great refuge. Oh, you need the great shadow of a great rock. You need that rock, Christ Jesus. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That which will take you and lift you above all the waves and the billows. That you set your feet on the rock, that you might be found standing firm. Oh, that you might sing. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing the praises of God, the praises of Him that washed us in His own blood from all of our sin. Oh, we have that, don't we? In the first chapter of Revelation, the end of verse 5, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Friends, the answer is in this, isn't it? The Apostle Paul, writing to the Hebrews, he says, it's looking unto Jesus. Oh, you can look at the temptation, and you can look at the power of sin and Satan within your own heart. You won't find any help there, will you? And you can look at your own strength, and where's your help there? Where's your hope of enduring to the end there? And how can you resist these strong temptations to sin, to speak wrongly, to murmur, or to even do things that are wrong? It's not within yourself, is it? You know it's not. Where's your help? Where's your hope? How can you endure to the end? How can you remain steadfast? How will you not be swept away with the next great wave of temptation? It's looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Is that where you are this evening? Wearied and faint. There's a word for you this evening, poor sinner. And it comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it's this: come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my burden is easy, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. But it's that come unto me. Oh, may you and I be among those that come unto him. Oh, coming sinners, in a felt sense of need, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Dear friends, there's power in the cross of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. There's power in that precious blood that he shed at Calvary. And the Lord's testimony is this, as it was to the children of Israel and to Moses: and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, may the Lord help you to plead that blood which did for sin atone. Oh, may he help you to look unto Jesus. May Christ be revealed and Christ made precious to you in the hour of temptation. And then you'll say, it has been good for me to be afflicted. Then you'll be able to agree with the text this evening that blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You'll praise him and thank him for it. When you look back and you see how he met with you in it, how he upheld you in it, how he kept you in it by his own power, and how he revealed himself to you in it. The sinner's friend, the one who receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, who flees to the friend of sinners, a friend of publicans and sinners, on whom help is laid by Almighty God. He said, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. Help for you, poor sinner, who cannot help himself, but help is laid on Jesus Christ. Though it's there for us to plead, a name is given for poor sinners to plead at the throne of grace, pleading the name of Jesus. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And what is that? It's the crown of everlasting life. It's the hope of heaven. It is heaven itself. It's the believer's prospect. It is that crown of life. Oh, it is the ultimate prize. Crown of life, which the Lord hath promised. He's promised to give it through his Son. By his Son it's made known. And the Holy Spirit reveals, confirms and assures and persuades a sinner that he has his interests in these things. Oh, the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Are you one of those that love his appearing? Or are you one of those that delight in that name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul says, and we must close, but Paul says to Timothy in the second epistle, chapter 4, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. And it is, isn't it? It's a struggle. The life of a believer is a struggle. It's a fight, it's a warfare. But he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Oh, and how we love his appearing. When he appears mighty on our behalf. But when he says thus far and no further to Satan when he comes in like a flood. When the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him and declares he's one of mine. He's one of mine. Oh, how we love his appearing. When in the darkest hour, the Lord himself comes walking on the sea, comes right where we are, and stills that storm of temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. May God add his blessing. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 812. Hymn 812, tune Grosvenor 154. Whene'er I make some sudden stop, for many such I make, and cannot see the cloud cleared up, nor know which path to take, I to my Saviour speed my way, to tell my dubious state, and listen what the Lord will say, and hope to follow that. Weak in myself, in him I'm strong, his Spirit's voice I hear, the way I walk cannot be wrong, if Jesus be but there, he is my helper and my guide, I trust in him alone. No other helps have I beside, I venture all on one. Hymn 812, tune Grosvenor 154.
Oh, dear.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.